Eternity's Echo, JFK's Last Stand, Chapter 5, The Shadow of Antimatter. As President Jack Kennedy, his brother Bobby, and scientist Hugh Everett wrestle with the implications of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, the scene shifts to 2018 at a particle accelerator, the Tunnel to Creation, a laboratory on Long Island, more than 50 years in the future. Scientists stand to make a discovery that will impact history, although they don't realize it just yet. At this moment, past, present, and future stand ready to converge through a pending cosmic anomaly. The lead scientist, excited, yells, "They have done it! We've isolated antimatter on a scale never before achieved, and this could be a breakthrough that we've been waiting for." The scientist is both a leading figure and a pioneer in the field of theoretical physics, time travel, and also particle physics. His assistant looks at him nervously. "But is it safe, Dr. Krause? We're dealing with things we barely understand." The scientist, Dr. Leonard Krause, is a tall, thin man in his late 50s with silver hair neatly combed back, sharp blue eyes, and a prominent nose that gives him an air of authority. He has a meticulous nature, often seen adjusting his wire-rimmed glasses. "You say barely understand. Well, that is the nature of science. We push the boundaries. But, Sarge, what could possibly go wrong?" And his assistant, under her breath, says, "Many of his critics say this is like playing with fire." Dr. Emily Foster is a petite woman in her early 30s, short chestnut brown hair and wide, anxious eyes behind her round glasses. She's always fidgeting with her lab coat sleeves. She's incredibly bright, but tends to second-guess herself in a soft, hurried voice whenever addressing her superiors. "Come, let us do what we've been trying to do and put together for the longest time." There is a low hum, the sound of machines powering up, that begin to grow louder. The experiment proceeds, but beneath the surface, something is wrong. The discovery that should have been a triumph may soon prove to be a nightmare. As the situation begins to spiral out of control, Krause's mind flashes back to a conference in Europe just months earlier, where he had been warned of the unforeseen consequences of a deep dive into antimatter research. At a scientific symposium in Geneva, Switzerland, there's the soft murmur of conversation, the clinking of glasses, and distant chatter in a conference hall. And Leonard Krause, defensive but trying to retain control, says, "You think I am reckless, don't you? Just because I'm not working at your massive facility in Europe, you think I'm chasing shadows, only I am after the spotlight myself." And a colleague, concerned but firm, says, "Oh, this isn't about recognition, Dr. Krause. It's about recognizing the risks. Antimatter isn't just a curiosity. It's the opposite of everything we know, the opposite of energy, of matter, of life itself. And we know it exists, but where is it? And why hasn't it shown itself yet in abundance? We have the stars, we have all the galaxies, plenty of matter, plenty of stuff, but where is the anti-stuff? And what if finding it, or worse, creating it, brings consequences we can't even comprehend?" Krause says with a hint of frustration, "You're just trying to keep me in your shadow, warning me off like a child who's playing Vista Fire. But we have to push the boundaries to understand. Isn't that why we're scientists? To discover what lies beyond?" And a second colleague, serious, almost pleading, says, "Oh, yes, but not at the cost of everything, Dr. Krause. Antimatter isn't just another puzzle piece. It's the reverse of existence. And if you miscalculate, you're not just tampering with matter. You're tampering with the very fabric of reality. We're drawn to it, yes, because it's a mystery, a potential source of immense power. But at what cost, Dr. Krause? At what cost?" The blaring of alarms, the concern of technicians scurrying about the lab, brings Dr. Krause back to the present moment at the Tunnel to Creation. But it's clear that the experiment has reached a critical point. The weight of the prior warnings press heavily in on him, even as he remains resolute in his pursuit of discovery. Yet despite the alarms that blared throughout the lab and the near panic of the staff, Dr. Krauss appears to have been vindicated, his perseverance paying off. As the situation begins to stabilize, it appears that Dr. Krauss and his crew have discovered the largest bit of antimatter in the history of science, a nucleus of a helium atom. His perseverance apparently paid off. And now, envisioning himself with the accolades of the entire industry, perhaps even a Nobel Prize, Krauss basks in his discovery, which for him is the ultimate validation of years of effort. But as the moments pass, strange things begin to happen at the Tunnel to Creation, the particle accelerator facility on Long Island where the experiment was done. His assistant, Emily, comes running over to him.
Dr. Krauss, we're getting some very strange anomalous readings, like the fabric of reality is distorting.
And Krauss brushes it off, saying, well, this is probably just an equipment malfunction. We've been working on the cutting edge here. Glitches are to be expected. But the instruments, which have been beeping continuously, become erratic and more intense. And the assistant, becoming more and more alarmed, says,
no, sir. No, this isn't just a glitch. These anomalies keep getting worse.
And realizing the seriousness of the situation, Krauss says, shut it down now, everybody. But it appears that these efforts are done too late. Krauss and his assistants may have gone too far. The instruments show that a rift distorting time and space has been opened, a rift in 2018 at the Tunnel to Creation, but possibly spreading beyond it. As Dr. Krauss and his team struggles to understand what they might have unleashed in 2018, decades earlier and miles away at Princeton in 1962, Dr. Hugh Everett senses that something is terribly wrong. And amid the many issues and threats that are created by the Cuban Missile Crisis, including the cosmic consequences discussed, Everett senses a different threat, something decades away. A different time, a different space, and yet even more threatening than the prospect of thermonuclear war. Now, time, as we understand it, is a linear path, each moment following the next. But what if, as some scientists say, through some tear in reality, different eras could touch, their events intertwined? And as President John F. Kennedy grapples with the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, a moment where the world stands on the brink of war, another era in 2018 involving antimatter on Long Island, the two intertwine. More specifically, in 2018 and at the Tunnel to Creation on Long Island, a groundbreaking experiment with antimatter has caused an opening of a rift, a tear in the fabric of space and time. And this rift bridges past and future, allowing events 56 years apart to influence one another. In Washington, at the White House in 1962, the pressure of the Cuban Missile Crisis weighs heavily on the president. And late into the night, in the Oval Office, the ticking of the clock is almost deafening. Exhausted but resolute, he leans over his desk, staring at the array of reports and maps spread out before him. The room is dim, lit only by the small desk lamp casting long shadows across the room. Suddenly, something strange begins to happen. The air in the room seems to ripple, distorting the light and the very fabric of reality. Kennedy blinks, his tired eyes widening as the ripples coalesce into a shimmering doorway of light directly before him. "What in God's name is this?" he asks himself. And before he can react, the doorway expands, its pull growing stronger and drawing him towards it. His instinct is to resist, to pull back, but his body moves involuntarily, stepping forward as if compelled by an unseen force. The light envelops him, and the world around him fades into a blur. In an instant, he is transported, disoriented but standing firm, in a sterile, brightly lit room. The environment is entirely unfamiliar, filled with advanced machinery and devices that seem far beyond the technology of his time in the 1960s. Kennedy blinks, his vision clearing to reveal a group of stunned scientists in lab coats, their expression a mix of shock and awe.
Jack steadies himself. Where am I, and what just happened?
And Krauss, stammering to form the words, says, Mr. President, you are in the laboratory for 2018 in Long Island.
Both Kennedy and Krauss's minds race, trying to piece together what has just occurred. The portal, the sudden rift in space and time, seems almost impossible. Yet here, the president from the past stands, and it dawns on both him and the scientist that whatever experiment was conducted has somehow breached the barriers of time, pulling John F. Kennedy through into 2018 on Long Island. JFK is resolute, taking charge. You've done something here, something that might have brought me into a different place in time. Where am I, and what kind of experiment were you running?
Within the lab, scientists gasp. A president from 5 decades ago materializing in an ethereal glow about him, yet he seems very real. It's President John F. Kennedy from the 1960s. But the president's confident, reassuring demeanor has them explaining the situation hurriedly. Krauss tells him about the experiment, and JFK listens intently, his military and political instincts kicking in. He has never shied away from the gravity of a situation, but sleep-deprived and under immense pressure, he briefly questions himself whether this is a figment of his imagination, yet the urgency of the moment pushes him to act.
Gentlemen, I don't have time to debate reality, and whatever is happening here, I need to contact Dr. Everett. We need to handle this before it spreads out of control.
Despite the surreal nature of the situation, Kennedy's resolve is unshaken. He steps forward, fully embracing this unexpected journey through time and space, driven by a sense of duty and a deep belief in divine guidance. With determination, he moves toward the challenge, knowing that the fate of not just one world, but many, may rest in his hands.